And today on the feature, again, another special report from our trip to China, as we learned a lot about that country. And, of course, right now we know about the tariffs and what's being targeted and what is not. Some one of the takeaways, I guess, is that of the tariffs imposed by China, 80% are on agricultural products. So definitely agriculture taking a big hit with these. But on about the next to the last day that we were in that region of the world, we were in Hong Kong. And, of course, Hong Kong, part of, but yet not part of China. Kind of a confusing thing there. Eventually, by, I think it's 2047, if they vote to, they will become totally part of China. But now two separate kind of countries within the same country. And Hong Kong, as we learned, they have basically no export restrictions there, no tariffs, and a very populous area that get everything shipped in, and no agricultural production there whatsoever. But one of the people that we got that gave us a pretty good insight into agriculture and government policy as it relates to China was Jeff Coy. He's the regional vice president for the U.S. Wheat Associates out of the Hong Kong office. And in his presentation, he began by talking about the wheat market in China. Now, we know that they're big importers of soybeans, and of course, hopefully, kind of as we look to the future, think they could be a big importer at least of ethanol, perhaps distilled dried grains, and maybe even whole corn as well. But the wheat market, very big and an important part to the Chinese government. Again, Jeff Coy explains that.
China, obviously, a big market, the biggest wheat-consuming market in the world. They are primarily self-dependent in wheat because that's precisely what they want, is to be self-reliant in wheat production as a staple grain. Unlike other agricultural inputs, let's take soybeans, for example, huge volumes into China. What would the Chinese do without American soybeans? Well, they might import the meal, or they might import the meat. But they look at soybeans as basically an import substitution to enhance their own meat production. Or cotton, as an example. China is a huge market for American cotton. Why is that? It's primarily to feed into their export-oriented textile business. So here's an agricultural import that's used as a raw material for an export-oriented industry. What about wheat? Wheat's a different situation altogether because wheat is a staple grain. A staple grain, as we'll see in a minute, it receives a lot of preferential treatment from the Chinese authorities. The most costly wheat in the world is located in China, and it's kept high by government-mandated price, a minimum procurement price that the government is going to maintain, not by buying up the whole market, but by buying up perhaps a quarter of the market in order to maintain that floor under which the price will not go. What we've had year after year after year, if you look at the Chinese balance sheet, is production that exceeds utilization. And you still have imports on top of that. But as a policy matter, the most important thing for the authorities is to make sure that people are staying on the farm producing wheat. There are a lot of alternatives for young people to look at today, and urbanization is a huge trend across China, but maintaining production is job number one. This year, the harvest in China was rained on in significant places in the wheat belt, and there's said to be some sprouting and some mold damage and some vomitoxin problems. It's not like they don't need outside wheat from quality point of view, but they certainly don't need it from a quantity point of view, because not only does their production exceed their use, they've got almost half of the world's wheat stocks in China. About 45% of the world stock is in China, and their stocks to use ratio, you usually see it expressed in terms of a fraction. How many months of usage do you have? Well, here the stocks use ratio is 1 year. They have 1 year's worth of consumption in their stocks.
So it's certainly very interesting that they want to maintain at least 1 year's total supply of wheat on hand in the country. And, of course, as we talk markets here, we know what the wheat market has been, somewhat of a drain on, for example, the corn market. But the question that Jeff Coy answered, so to speak, was why they want to keep that much wheat, especially when they might be could grow perhaps soybeans or some other crop on that acreage that is going into wheat. Well, he tells us it has to do with domestic concerns.
Domestic concerns trump everything in China. So when we try to say, well, why aren't we selling more wheat in China? We got to focus on those domestic concerns. What are they? And number one is food security in staple grains. And by that, I mean wheat and rice, these two. These other soybeans and corn and sorghum, you can import those until the cows come home, so to speak, because they're feed grains. But wheat and rice, these two are of particular importance to the Chinese authorities. And unlike a lot of countries that would say, hey, imported sources diversifies our supply, Chinese don't look at it like that. They look at an imported source as a threat to their food security rather than as an enhancement to their food security. They view especially low-priced grain as a threat to their own production. And they want to insulate their market from the deflation that you guys have to face every day in the United States. They don't want that deflation to affect their own farm gate prices. So they restrict the amount of wheat that can come in, and they guarantee a minimum price, these two policies. But the very legitimacy of the regime is based on their ability to feed the people. This goes back to Han Shu, which is one of the Chinese classics over 2,000 years ago, that made the point that to the ruler, the people are supreme, and to the people, food is supreme. In other words, if you can keep your people fed, you have a legitimate dynasty. If you cannot do that, you no longer have a legitimate dynasty. Both grain, the management of grain, as well as water, the management of water and the control of flooding are the two primary, throughout the centuries, primary responsibilities of a ruler. And if you can do that, you're legitimate. The same logic applies today. So, these priorities for the government are rural income enhancement is important. There's still a huge gap between urban and rural incomes. Even though rural incomes have been growing at a double-digit pace over the last 5-6 years, still they're well behind the urban income when you're talking about cash and income. So income enhancement in the countryside is an important policy priority. But food security is number one, and by food security meaning self-sufficiency in staple grains. And you might say, well, what about the consumer? What about the mills? What about the bakers? Those considerations are not important to the authorities. And perhaps to our chagrin, their influence, the influence of mills and bakers in China or the consumer in China, is much smaller than, say, an industry association, say, in the United States would have you. Have the influence that we have in the United States.
And, more comments coming, but we need to take a quick break first.